Hi everybody, welcome back to Parsha by Hannah. Super excited to jump back in this week after a little bit of a break last week. I am could not be more excited about this week's topic. We're going to be talking about our love for Hashem, specifically as an analysis of this week's Parsha, Parshat Ekev and Tu B'Av. So to start, I want to pose the age-old question in this year, what is love? As far as I know, love can take on countless different forms, whether that is the love a parent has for a child, the love two people have in a relationship, or the love between Hashem and his creations. What I want to explore is how the love that is established in our relationship with Hashem could help inform the love that grows in a relationship of a husband and a wife. To put this all in a larger context, this week is the 26th anniversary of my parents' wedding. I may be biased, but their love story is one of my favorites, and in honor of that love, I wanted to have this year. I want to start by looking at a little-known holiday that happened this week, dubbed the Jewish Valentine's Day. Tu B'Av is a holiday that has its origins in the Midrash, with a very interesting mythology behind it. In the Gemara in Tanit 31a, it says, the Mishnah taught, as on them the daughters of Jerusalem would go out in white clothes, and on the 15th of Av they would go out in the vineyards and dance. The sages taught that this tradition in greater detail. The daughter of the king borrows white garments from the daughter of the high priest. The daughter of the high priest borrows from the daughter of the deputy high priest. The daughter of the deputy high priest borrows from the daughter of the priest anointed for war. And this goes on and on and on. And all the Jewish people borrow from each other. Why would they all borrow garments? They did this so as not to embarrass one who did not have her own white garments. So now that we have this context of the young girls of Jerusalem borrowing white dresses from other people, what is the substance of this holiday? So again, the Mishnah in Tanit 4a begins by saying section 1, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said, there were no days of joy in Israel greater than the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. Section 2, on these days, the daughters of Jerusalem would go out in borrowed white garments in order not to shame anyone who had none. All these garments required immersion. The daughters of Jerusalem came out and danced in the vineyards. What would they say? Young man, lift up your eyes and see what you choose for yourself. Do not set your eyes on beauty, but set your eyes on the family. Grace is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Proverbs 31:30. And it further says, give her of the fruit of her hands, let her works praise her in the gates. Section 3. Similarly, it says, O maidens of Zion, go forth and gaze upon King Solomon, wearing the crown that his mother gave him on his wedding day, on the day of the gladness of his heart. On his wedding day, this refers to Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, and on the day of the gladness of his heart, this refers to the building of the temple, may it be built speedily in our days. Amen. Without considering the incredibly strange first line of this Gemara, which on its own can be a whole other sheer topic, we have this tradition of young women going out in the fields of Jerusalem, saying something that is incredibly deceptive. The concept of them putting on these new dresses, but stating that beauty is vain. I want to focus on the last line of our Gemara, that on his wedding day, refers to the giving of the Torah. If this is true, then there is another more fundamental marriage going on beneath the surface. That is the marriage of the Jewish people and Hashem. We know that as a Jewish people, we are commanded to love Hashem, as seen in Devarim 6:5. But what does that love entail? What does it mean for finite and fallible human beings to love an infinite and perfect creator? The Mishnah Torah and the foundations of Torah 2:1 says, it is mandatory to love and fear this glorified and awe-inspiring God, for it is said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, in Devarim 6:5, and it said, the Lord thy God thou shalt fear, also in Devarim 6:13. So now that we have established that there is this inherent connection between love, between the love we must feel for Hashem and the fear that we must feel for him, how can we balance these feelings? If I'm using romantic love as an example, that love would seemingly be nullified. If it came from a place of fear, I do not love someone because I fear them. So then how can these commandments exist? In the Mishnah Torah and the foundations of the Torah, 2:2, it says, "But how may one discover the way to love and fear him? When man will reflect concerning his works and his great and wonderful creatures." And, you know, this from the Mishnah Torah goes on, but skipping to the end, it says, "And in harmony with these matters, I elucidate great general principles of the works of the Lord of the universe, so that they may serve as an opening for one who understands by which to love the name. As some sages said on the subject of love, out of it thou wilt recognize the one who spoke, and that the universe was called into existence." The above passage from the Rambam's Mishnah Torah clarifies that fear is not the absence of love, rather it is the understanding of the majesty of the situation. With this in mind, I want to turn to one of the brachot before Shema that is recited on a daily basis about the basis of love between the Jewish people and Hashem. This is from an Ashkenaz Siddur, the brachot before the Shema. It's Ahavat Rabbah. Some of you might be familiar of it. I'm going to skip over the specific words of the bracha. Feel free to look at the source sheet in your own time. But something that is interesting that's brought up in this bracha is the basis of trust between the Jewish people and Hashem. This concept is historically one that the Jewish people have, on many occasions, struggled to maintain throughout their entire existence. But love is only possible through that trust. Love is also being able to have the humility to ask for help. It is recognizing that this relationship is only successful when both parties are contributing. We ask Hashem to help us understand what life is to be, and in his loving kindness, he gives us the Torah as a guidebook for how we should live. I want to turn now to our Parsha, Parshat Ekev, to see what other lessons of love might be revealed to us. The Parsha begins by stating that if we fulfill Hashem's mitzvot, then he will greatly reward us. This, viewed in a larger context, is the lesson of compromise that is necessary in all successful relationships, as it says in Devarim 7:12, "And if you obey these rules and observe them carefully, the Lord your God will maintain faithfully for you the covenant that he made on oath with your fathers." In Psukim Yud Gimel through Pasuk Tet Vav, Moshe describes the many brachot that will come to the Jewish people if we fulfill the mitzvot. Moshe in Perek Chet then goes on to describe the many kindnesses that Hashem bestowed on us throughout the Midbar. Then we arrive to Perek Chet Pasuk Yod. This is what I believe what the culmination of all we have spoken about is. It says, and I'm going to read it in Hebrew and in English. Ve'achalta v'savata uvirachta et Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz ha'tova asher natan lach. When you have eaten your fill, give thanks to the Lord your God for the good land that which he has given you. Three verbs straight in a row. When you eat and become satisfied, then you will bless Hashem. Ignoring for a moment that the fact that this English translation puts seva as having eaten your fill, I think this sequence of actions can be applied to something even more fundamental than eating. We as people have few fundamental needs: food, water, shelter. Now look at a relationship. As we have discussed previously tonight, a relationship must be built on a foundation of trust. It is about compromise and one's willingness to give to another. This is the eating that the pasuk is talking about. When you are provided with what you need, then the reaction is to thank the other person. But what does seva mean? And you will be satisfied. Every person is looking for countless different things in all of their relationships. Every relationship seeks to serve some kind of need. But in the words of our pasuk, one must be satisfied before they bless. The source for this year came from an on-the-spot Dvar Torah that I gave at the Sheva Brachot of very close family friends 3 years ago this Shabbat. What I understood then still applies now. Loving somebody means having an incredibly deep appreciation for that other person, for the countless things they provide for you, and also just for who they are in essence. For me, I can think of no bigger bracha than seva. When you take a minute to recognize the person in front of you for all they are, when you pause before rushing to say thank you for something you do not fully appreciate. Yes, may it be my bracha to all of you that in your lives you find someone that gives you the fruit of their hard labor. But beyond that, may this learning be in this chut of the understanding of who that person is. Beyond their beauty that Tisha B'Av teaches us is in vain. Beyond all the materialistic things they provide for you. To fully be satisfied in life and who you are and who you are with. And then, and only then, is it possible to truly be grateful and bless the situation? I hope you all enjoyed, and I hope you have a good Shabbat.